Good morning. Wow, that was loud. So as people start to filter in, let's go ahead and get started. We're already running late. It's good to see everybody. How about that keynote, huh? That was some amazing stuff that we got to see today. And my thunder was stolen, so I'm going to be the second Bill to introduce myself today. But the first thing I want to say is officially welcome to the 2014 SharePoint Conference. You're going to have a great week ahead of you. You're going to see a ton of innovation you never thought that you would see before. You saw it in the keynote, and you're going to see it throughout the week. This week is full of announcements. It's full of new technologies that you've never seen before, and it's going to be full of opportunities for IT to embrace some of what we're building. Today's session is SharePoint on-premises, in the cloud, and everything in between. If you remember back in about November, I wrote a blog post describing our direction and our strategy as related to SharePoint. I'm Bill Baer. I'm a senior product marketing manager in our SharePoint product group. I'm also a Microsoft certified master, and prior to coming to Microsoft, I was with HP for a number of years. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the transformation of IT. We're going to have a look back at SharePoint Server 2013, a look at Service Pack 1. We're going to talk a little bit about Office 365 innovation as it relates to IT. Today we saw some great capabilities that facilitate the transformation of work. We're going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be shipping here soon for IT to be comfortable with the cloud. And then lastly, we're going to do a closing. If any of you entered the IT Pro contest, you don't want to leave before the closing. So let's talk a little bit about the cloud. Today we showed you great capabilities. Why is the cloud important to IT? If you think about sources such as Gartner or IDC, and you look at some of the metrics that they've captured, by 2015, almost 35% of enterprise IT expenditures are going to be managed outside of the IT team's department. And that's just next year. Look forward to 2020, and just about 30% of all IT spending is going to be representative of the cloud. So there is a fundamental opportunity to transform IT and become an enabler, to become a value-added service broker. And when we talk about the cloud, there's many capabilities that are available to you, and there's many clouds. I always like to say SharePoint is one product, and there's many clouds. And finding your cloud is finding that right balance between control, security, and scalability. You have infrastructure as a service. Think about the SharePoint Conference website. That's running in Windows Azure infrastructure as a service. You have platform as a service. MySPC is running in Windows Azure as a PaaS instance. And then lastly, you have software as a service. Much of the demos that you saw today were based inside of Office 365. Coming back to infrastructure as a service, the cloud is massively scalable. If you saw what Jeff talked about today, some of the massive scale, just to give you an idea of the scalability of our platforms, let's snap over to Azure real quick. The hands-on labs that you're experiencing this week, we're leveraging 6,625 cores in Windows Azure to deliver those hands-on labs. Almost 1,800 concurrent virtual machines are running at any given time. So we have terabytes of memory and compute capacity assigned to your labs. So all of these things today in this cloud era, it does introduce challenges. But those challenges can also be met by opportunity. You're being asked to do more every day. IT is being asked to drive business processes, you're being asked to increase revenue, you're being asked to advance innovation, and you're being asked to build better user experiences for your users. Unfortunately, at the same time, IT budgets are shrinking. So you need to have a balance in between. And that balance is becoming an enabler, showing that in this cloud-centric world, that you can demonstrate a method to overcome those challenges. And we're proactively building those tools to help you get there. The big opportunity again, it's the transformation from being a service administrator, from being someone who installs cumulative updates, public updates, and service packs on a periodic basis, to becoming that value-added service broker, to being able to respond to those challenges and deliver the feature sets and the capabilities that your users want to enjoy and that your departments are demanding of you. So with that as a backdrop, let's go ahead and switch gears real quick and talk about SharePoint Server 2013 and take a step back and look at what we've done over the years. Back in November of 2012, we launched SharePoint Server 2013. We launched or delivered our first PU, in December of 2012. And ever since then, we've continued to innovate, whether it's through cumulative updates or public updates, and through deploying SharePoint and Windows Azure. And now here we are at Service Pack 1, which establishes a new baseline for the product. And in Service Pack 1, if you think about those challenges, you're being asked to do more, you're being asked to be a value-added service broker, you're being asked to bring experiences to your users, and you're doing all of that on an ever-diminishing budget in many cases. With Service Pack 1, we're going to help you respond to these challenges. We released it to the web on February 25th, so Wednesday before the conference. Hopefully that didn't give you enough time to download it. It's build 15.44.69.1005, and it's about 1 gig in total size. So that's just quickly what it is. What does it include? All of the cumulative updates up to and including the December 2013 CU. The next post-service pack CU is going to be the February 2014 CU that you'll be seeing shortly. It has all of the public updates, including the December 2013 PU, and the next one you'll see after that's the March PU, and I can already see people kind of planning how they're going to deploy this stuff. But really the important thing is the functionality. If we go back to those IT challenges, and we go back to those IT opportunities, and that concept of you being asked to do more with less, that's where Service Pack 1 can help you. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the functionality. As we left the keynote just minutes ago, you heard Jeff announce the new OneDrive for Business standalone SKU. You're going to hear about OneDrive for Business throughout the duration of this conference. You also saw a sneak peek into some of our Yammer integration. So you saw the Lightbox experience today. When Julia opened up a PowerPoint presentation, you saw the Lightbox open to the far left and the far right of the window. You saw Yammer in the video portal. You saw Yammer in the Oslo app, where we're bringing those great search experiences. So Yammer integration is something we're also investing in to help facilitate those customers that are running on-premises. We're also adding support for Windows Server 2012 R2 as a base operating system for SharePoint 2013. And then lastly, we're adding JSON Lite support for our developers. OneDrive for Business, it's personal storage in the cloud. It's the rebrand of SkyDrive Pro, only by name. By functionality, we've invested a ton of capability into OneDrive for Business that you're going to see. And we've added redirection support for those that are on-premises that want to leverage cloud storage for their users. We've also added JSON Lite for our developers, so you have less verbose JSON communications between your apps and your server. And we've also, again, added the support for Windows Server 2012. The other thing that we've also added is we've added new compliance capabilities. You saw those again today in Office 365. So you saw some of our DLP opportunities, you saw information classification, and you also saw multi-factor authentication. So in Service Pack 1, we're introducing 5 more out-of-the-box classifications, which is great. So we're adding Finland, we're also adding Poland, 3 separate classifications there, and then we're also adding Taiwan. So right now we provide 51 classifications out of the box. Many of those classifications are international data. So we understand the importance of being able to discover, manage, and control classified data inside of a SharePoint environment, but we also understand the unique intricacies that come along with storing international data as well. What you saw today as well, when you saw some of those queries, were complex predicates, or what we call complex predicates. We showed you some simple queries with straightforward predicates, but you can also string together a number of predicates as well if you wanted to create more complex queries inside of our DLP offering, whether you're on-prem or in the cloud. And it's complexity as well. Out-of-the-box classifications are not just regex. So it goes beyond that as well. We're delivering deep experiences both on-prem and in Office 365. If you're leveraging Exchange, you're going to find the same classifications that we've introduced in Service Pack 1 in Exchange as well. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and snap into a quick demo so I can show you some of the OneDrive capabilities for those that haven't had a chance to experience Service Pack 1 yet. So here you can see we're in central administration. And yes, I know this SharePoint Health Analyzer has detected an issue. When doesn't it? But As you can see here, I've got Service Pack 1 deployed, and I've got a new menu suite towards the bottom right of the screen. You'll notice I have an Office 365 option now in my menu suite. If I click on my Office 365 option, I've got two things that I can do. I can configure Yammer, and I can configure OneDrive sites and links. So this is all on-premises Service Pack 1. So if I configure OneDrive sites and links, you're going to notice down here on the screen, I can specify a My Site URL that redirects users to the My Site host in Office 365. So the URL that you see there is representative of the Office 365 My Site host associated with your tenancy. You'll also notice down here, I have an audience for that connection as well. So I don't have to redirect all of my users to the cloud for their OneDrive personal site experience. I can selectively deploy to users individually or as part of a membership in a group. So if I wanted to, I could specify an audience such as OneDrive cloud users. What that means is membership in my OneDrive cloud users group will get redirected to Office 365 when they leverage the OneDrive link in the navigation bar. And for users not members of that group, they'll continue to leverage their storage on premises. You'll also notice I have the option to redirect pages and sites to Office 365 as part of the OneDrive offering. So we're all familiar with the sites link and the create a site link. Now what that would leverage, what that does for IT is when a user clicks on sites and creates a new site, if I elect to redirect that portion, they'll get redirected to the cloud when creating new sites and creating new pages. So there's an opportunity there for you to take the concept of store, share, and sync and redirect your users to the cloud. Let's face it, many of your users today as IT, one of the things that you have to combat is users leveraging third-party platforms for file storage, file synchronization. They do it all the time. Here is an opportunity for you to become that value-added service broker, because not only can you redirect your users to the cloud, you still have all of the management capabilities that we've built into the product. So users aren't creating discrete containers of data that you don't have control of as IT. So if we go back real quick, we're going to go back to central administration, and we're going to look at Yammer. Yammer is an easy one. It's on or it's off. So you can activate Yammer and you can deactivate Yammer. What you'll notice up in the navigation bar here in my demonstration is I now have Yammer as opposed to Newsfeed. By virtue of activating Yammer, it places a Yammer link up at the top of the bar, replacing the Newsfeed link, and when users click on that, they're taken to your instance of Yammer where they can begin their social networking journey as opposed to within the SharePoint Newsfeed. So if I just flip over now, since I have all of this configured, I have a typical on-premises SharePoint site, and I have my OneDrive and my Yammer link there as well. So I'm logged in now as myself. If I click on OneDrive, you'll notice what happens is another tab opens and I get redirected to the cloud where my OneDrive storage exists. And as a true IT pro, I decided there's nothing better than using a GUID as your URL for your public site in Office 365. So as you can see here, I'm easily redirected over to the cloud. I get the welcome to OneDrive at SharePoint Conference 2014 notification. That would be representative of your business. But it's a pretty simple process. And that's where I talked about earlier. It's becoming that value-added service broker. And it's actually something pretty easy to do. So if you think about from a configuration perspective, there's not a whole lot differently than I've done than many of you have done with a trusted My Site host. I've redirected my users to the cloud. They have an opportunity to leverage the massive scale of the cloud that we have to offer. You don't have to punch holes in your firewall for them to synchronize content because they're cloud connected all the time, whether they're on an Android device, an iPad, a PC, or a phone. And at the same time, I still have all of the compliance and control that my on-premises SharePoint that's connected to that provides me. The same equally applies to Yammer. If I click on Yammer, as you can see, I have my newsfeed URL. However, what's going to happen is it's going to take me to my Yammer subscription. So that's great as well, because now I can leverage Yammer as my social journey. So this is the matter of just moving things, and yes, it's spinning, but there it is. I saw a couple of people waiting patiently for that to happen. So here we are inside of Yammer, as opposed to the newsfeed. And this is another opportunity to take it at a workload by workload basis. If you think about what we've done with hybrid experiences over the course of the product, They've largely been based on IT pain points. It's been search, it's been business connectivity services, it's been federated identity. But you need a more seamless path to bring your users to the cloud. The many people I've already talked to at this conference have had that question. How do I get there? I'm not ready to move my deployment, or it's not feasible or realistically for me to pack up my data and just move it into the cloud. I need a staged approach. This is the one time where I'm not asking for a nonstop flight, I'm asking for individual stops in between. So what we've tried to do is make that easier. Now, if you take the OneDrive experience, you combine that with a hybrid search experience, then you have an opportunity to aggregate the data across the cloud and across on-premises in just a few easy clicks. So we're going to bounce out of this demonstration real quick and come back to some slides, and we'll revisit that one in a moment. So looking forward to 2015, I'm going to be the second person today that tells you what you've wanted to hear. In calendar year 2015, as Jeff said today as well, we're going to launch the next version of SharePoint, the next version of Shane's, the next version of Office on premises. And that is the big question I think everybody probably came here to hear, is there going to be a vNext of SharePoint that I can install on a machine? And the answer to that question is yes. In the next calendar year, we're going to deliver you that experience. Now we're going to spend a few moments to talk a little bit about Office innovation, specifically as it applies to IT professionals. In 2013, we launched what we call the new Office, and we have delivered a wealth of innovation across that comparatively when you look at SharePoint Server 2013 and some of the investments that we made over the course of the past year. So it was platform improvements, Azure AD password sync, 50 gig mailboxes in Exchange, DirSync scoping and filtering for those doing directory synchronization, PDFs in the Word web apps. We delivered a wealth of information, of innovation within Office 365. The way that we were able to do that is by leveraging a number of different things. Massive scale. You heard today, Jeff said that we're going to be supporting 1 terabyte site collections and virtually limitless tenants. But as opposed to talking about limitless, let me put that into perspective. Limitless is a number that you can never really wrap your head around. How big is limitless? Let's just use 1 petabyte as an example of a possible tenant that you could create or that you could consume from. What is 1 petabyte? If you do the math, 1 petabyte is billions of documents. If you take a 256K average document, and you do the math, you're going to end up with billions of documents inside of SharePoint. What does that mean? So I started thinking about that. How much is a petabyte? What does a 256K document with an average of 5 pages mean? So I started doing a little bit of math. The average width of a piece of paper that you would stick inside of a printer is 1/10 of a millimeter. So we'll say 5/10 of a millimeter for every page in that petabyte tenant. If we printed that out and stacked it up, it would be over 1,300 miles tall, effectively the distance between Seattle and Las Vegas. That's a huge amount of data that we're supporting in the cloud. As you start to think about it, it's actually an amazing number. And when you put it into the perspective of limitless, it's even bigger. One of the other announcements that you're going to hear about today is called Fort Knox, or codenamed Fort Knox. And you're going to learn a lot about this. And this is probably the most innovative, amazing thing that I have seen our team in SharePoint do when it comes to security. So we've all heard about the concept of shredded storage. I'm sure all of you still have a lot of questions about shredded storage. We talked about it at breadth last time we did this conference. There's sessions on it again this time. Effectively, what shredded storage did for us in SharePoint 2013 was it enabled us to take a document and partition it into smaller units. So individual blobs, all of those blobs being tied together by a blob sequence number. Now what we're doing is encrypting those, storing them in a massive array of disjointed storage all over the place, so there's virtually no way that somebody could take that data and do anything malicious or nefarious with it because of the security that we're applying to it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on here. There's a session right after lunch today with Simon Scuria. It's SPC 2016 or 21 6, so 2:16. I definitely recommend going to that session if you want to learn more about this and you want to learn about some of those limitless tenants, 1 terabyte site collections. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because once you see this thing, it is just absolutely amazing. So what else are we doing for IT? Multi-factor authentication. In our keynote demo, you saw the innovation that we've enabled for multi-factor authentication. What we understood about the cloud is it's easy to put your users on-prem because they have their credentials. And unless somebody takes their credentials and gets to your network, you largely don't worry about them and their credentials. However, we understand for IT, moving users to the cloud means that you need that additional level of security. So back in June of 2013, we introduced multi-factor authentication for global administrators of an Office 365 tenancy. On February 10th, we've extended that capability to users of Office 365, and you saw that demonstration today as well. Multi-factor authentication, many of you know, it's all about something that you have, something that you know, and some people will say it's something that you are, and that's when we get into biometrics. But two-factor authentication is something that we introduced in Office 365. So if I flip back over real quick, the reason that's important is it's not just for your cloud users. So as you can see here, we're in Office 365. I'm just going to go ahead and bounce back in to my tenancy to administer it. And one of the things that you're going to notice from these users and groups is all of them are synced with Active Directory. So as you can see, I'm doing directory synchronization, password synchronization. There are my users from Active Directory there that you can see from the PowerShell commandlets. But as you can see today, here's Alex Darrow, the one that we enabled for multi-factor authentication today. The reason that's important then that we wanted that to come across is because these are all on-premises users synchronized with Office 365 that you can enable two-factor authentication for to secure your platform, to ensure when your users are in the cloud that they're protected by being there and that you and IT are protected, that you know that it's going to take an additional set of credentials to actually authenticate against their services. Now, this isn't just for the web experience. It also extends itself down to the apps. So we talked about OneDrive for Business, showed you how easy it is to set up redirection. Multi-factor authentication can also be enforced to where they would have to leverage app passwords for devices, such as their phone when they're using OneDrive for Business, or on a Slate using some of the Metro apps, or even the Office applications. So you're probably familiar with two-factor authentication in live services with your Microsoft account. Very similar concept. So the ability to create app passwords to ensure and help IT understand that we're doing everything that we actively can to help you secure your users. And I apologize if we're moving fast. We started late, and I want to make sure that everybody gets to lunch today before the next set of sessions. Encryption at rest is another thing that we're introducing as well. So encryption at rest is important to us because data in transit is important, and we ensure you're protected there. Data at rest, we feel, is equally important, and we ensure in Office 365 that you're protected there. Throughout the course of this conference, throughout the course of the sessions immediately following lunch, you're going to hear a lot about how we've invested in security and reliability, and you're going to hear it over and over and over and over again throughout the course of the week, because we want to be able to send a clear message that over the course of the next year, we're going to deliver compelling hybrid experiences. We're going to deliver compelling experiences that enable you to take a workload and bring it from on-prem to Office 365. And we feel that making those experiences seamless by making them easy is great. But we want you to understand that once we have your information there, we're doing everything we can to ensure it's protected. And not only that, we're doing it at massive scale. So now we're going to flip gears, and for the remainder of this session, about the next 20 minutes, we're going to spend time on hybrid. So we understand the most important characteristic is the ability to move workloads between the cloud, whether you're in a private cloud using Hyper-V, your traditional on-premises bare metal, and then moving forward into the cloud. So we understand that hybrid is important. And we know it's not an all or none proposition. We don't expect you to pack up all of your data and just move it to the cloud. We understand that realistically, from a migration perspective, It's not easy. We understand that you need ways to be able to rationalize your data, figure out what's right for the cloud, figure out what workloads are right for the cloud, figure out your timing. Unfortunately, an all or none proposition doesn't get there. But also as IT, you want to maintain control. When it comes to IT experience, most of that is PowerShell based. You're either working in PowerShell, you're using remote desktop to connect to servers, you're using Windows Server Administration tools, you're using System Center. One of the things that I always hear from IT about the cloud is, I don't want to move to the cloud because to me it's the inmates running the asylum. I want to be able to control what happens. I don't want to lose that control. So what we've done is we've introduced a lot of capabilities that you're familiar with on-prem into the cloud. For example, PowerShell administration, you can do that in the cloud. Tenant administration is effectively your central administration. Directory synchronization, so this is all about opportunities. We talked about challenges and opportunities. I've seen a number of what I would consider a core SharePoint IT professional over the course of the last year transition from somebody who could tell me everything about Excel calculation services to somebody who can tell me all about identity federation. They've become masters of ADFS. They've become masters of SSO. They've become masters of how to integrate two different platforms. And the amazing thing is what they've done is they've built a completely new skill set that just adds more value to what they do. Again, it's becoming that value-added service broker for your organization. Hybrid is one of those key ways to become that value-added service broker, to show that you have the capacity as IT to bring your users to the cloud. So when we launched our hybrid search experience, back when we launched 2013, it was all based on query federation. Effectively, you're taking a query and you're directing it to two different places, on-premises and online. What you ended up with was two discrete result sets that you had to independently filter, that you had to independently refine. And from an IT perspective, it didn't necessarily deliver on what the expectations were for a hybrid experience, but it is a step. We also have business connectivity services that enable you to connect back to line of business applications from on-premises. We have OneDrive for Business that we just talked about that enables you to bring your users to the cloud on a workload basis. We have Yammer integration that enables you to bring your user social experience to the cloud. But as we work through the next year, we're also going to invest more and more in search. So today is all about query federation, and we heard the pain points. We understand the necessity for you to be able to rationalize and aggregate content in a unified manner as opposed to having two discrete result sets. So what we've done from a query federation perspective is as we work through the next year, we're going to deliver what we call remote indexing. It's crawling the cloud, crawling the content there, getting the results back, and the ability to have a single refinement set that's representative of both the content that users create online as well as the content that your users are creating in the cloud. That experience coupled with the OneDrive experiences is going to deliver a seamless approach to momentum, towards cloud momentum, and bringing your users into that environment. And again, it enables you to transition into that value-added service broker. So we're going to switch gears now and talk a little bit about the conference and what it has in store for IT professionals over the course of the next week. And again, I'm trying to get that one person to lunch, wherever they are. I heard them up here in the front row. So at a glance, for IT professionals at the 2014 SharePoint conference, we have over 100 sessions that are IT professional related. A lot of people asked very early on in the conference, is SharePoint conference 2014 just going to be all about Office 365? I need to know so I can determine whether or not I even need to register. The answer to that question is you're going to hear a lot about Office 365. You're going to hear a lot about SharePoint Online. You're going to hear a lot about Yammer. But you're also going to hear a ton about on-premises. We have some of the best industry recognized experts delivering a ton of on-premises IT professional sessions. Actually, over half of the sessions for IT professionals this week are going to be directly related to on-premises. If you consider hybrid an element of on-premises, you're going to see that number even grow more. We have over 50 hands-on labs available to you. It's a bring-your-own-device experience this year. So for those that are not running Internet Explorer, you can actually do the hands-on labs. Because we don't have an ActiveX dependency this year, it's all HTML5 based, it's touch-friendly, it'll work on any device that you choose to bring with you, so we heard your feedback there as well. And how's the wireless been this week? Hey. And on day one, we've actually got wireless as well. IT professional sessions this year are going to be on levels 2 and 3 here in the Venetian. Again, we have over 100 sessions that we're going to be delivering this week. I would definitely recommend that you visit SPC 216 right after lunch, which is SharePoint Online, Building for Large Enterprises. I believe we renamed it to Built for the Enterprise. You're going to learn more about Fort Knox. You're going to learn more about encryption at rest. You're going to learn more about the security and the massive scale that we've put into the platform, and you're going to learn more about how you can bring your users there. We have a number of great sessions, whether you're on-prem, in a private cloud, whether you're hybrid, or you're in Office 365. So some of the recommended sessions that I seem to find interesting, at least that I added to my calendar, if you are considering the cloud, you can do hybrid cloud scenarios with Azure IaaS. And I think it's an amazing technology based on what we've been able to do with our conference website, based on what we've been able to do with MySPC, based on what we've been able to do with our Azure Hands-On Lab, so SPC 298. SPC 333, Mobilize Your Workforce. This is a Windows Server 2012 R2 Web Application Proxy session. So R2 is here. It's a great opportunity for you to learn about extranets, to learn about delivering value to external users. For hybrid, we have a number of hybrid sessions, starting with an end-to-end session, going through hybrid search, and going through hybrid business connectivity services. And those sessions listed here aren't even inclusive of the OneDrive for Business sessions, where you're going to learn more about how to make the right identity federation decisions, how to make the right deployment decisions around OneDrive for Business, and how to bring your users there in a very seamless manner. We also have SPC 279, which is delivered by Ben Canning, our head SharePoint plumber at Microsoft. We have SPC 216 delivered by Simon Scaria, which is directly after lunch today. So don't leave yet. We've got a few more things to do. In summary, if you look back, A, we're committed to our 2 to 3 year release cycle. We're delivering the next version of SharePoint on premises in calendar year 2015. So it's a great time and a great opportunity to be in the SharePoint business. It's been a decade for me, and I'm still around. So it's not going anywhere anytime soon. We're on the path to deliver the next major release of SharePoint Server. We're ramping up focus on enterprise cloud throughout this calendar year, and you're seeing some of that come to fruition in Service Pack 1. And we're going to continue to innovate across the box and across the cloud. So it's not just going to be we innovate in the cloud and you get what's left over. We innovate in the cloud first, and you get the byproduct of all of our learning and all of the opportunities that we've seen. So it's a great time to be in the SharePoint business because of that. You're going to see more BI and more search investments that deeply integrate across Office 365. You saw a sneak peek at those today. You saw Power Map, you saw Q&A, you saw Power BI, you also saw Oslo and the Office Graph. And those sessions are going to be throughout the week. And there's a unique opportunities there as well to learn about those. We also have Ask the Experts. It's a great event that I encourage everybody to attend because you have an opportunity to meet with Microsoft product and program managers. You have a chance to meet with Microsoft engineers who sit there and press F5 every day to compile that product. It's the one chance that you actually get to meet with these people because otherwise we like them to be in Redmond building the product. So definitely attend Ask the Experts. We have everything from database to systems administrators. We have information workers who can tell you end-to-end, you know, how to leverage the platform, what makes sense. We have influencers, advisors. I think we have just about every MCM we've ever certified here this week. And of course, we also have our MVPs. We're also announcing today a new IT professional network. So we thought about what we have today in terms of the way that IT professionals communicate and collaborate. And we saw that there's forums, there's TechNet, there's a number of different places where people are having conversations today. So starting today, we're going to be bringing those conversations together by enabling you to interact not only with Microsoft professionals and MVPs, but with also us in the SharePoint product group. We're going to help you discover information by learning about news, learning about trends, getting updates, including throughout the week as we announce new sessions that we haven't announced yet because they were all under embargo. And then we're also going to engage you in a much more efficient manner. So if you visit yammer.com starting today and go to IT Pro Network, you can begin having conversations there. It's going to be a great new experience that ties together and brings together all of the conversations that you've been having in many other places in the past. And lastly, before we wrap up, and it looks like I'm almost going to get you here back on schedule, I want to announce the winner of IT Professional Winner Circle. Does everybody here know that we ran a contest for IT professionals? They could submit a video to the SharePoint Conference website describing a challenge that they've solved using SharePoint, and we enabled the community to vote on their favorite video and their favorite solution. So this year's winner for our IT professional contest is going to get a 5-star helicopter tour, a private flight, at 7 p.m. this evening over the Las Vegas Strip. They're going to be picked up in a private vehicle and taken for a champagne drink before we board you on a helicopter and take you on an evening flight over the Strip and bring you back. The winner this year is Will Hardy with the Calgary Board of Education, Iris Solution. Is Will here? Anywhere? So before we wrap up, if Will would just swing up to the podium as we leave, because there is going to be a few things that I need to share with you. Otherwise, if anybody sees Will, let him know to find me somewhere so I can share the logistics of how this is all going to work. I do want to thank you for coming to the 2014 SharePoint Conference. We have a great week ahead for IT professionals. If anybody has any questions as you're walking out, please feel free to ask. But otherwise, have a great lunch. I definitely, again, encourage, I can't stress enough, SP 216. Visit that session right after lunch. Thanks.